But I want to just take a few minutes, and literally it will just be a few minutes. I want to take some time to close up what we've been talking about the last several weeks. And that is, you're all sent. As Brianna just said, the Holy Spirit is in you just like it's in her. And you're all sent for specific times and specific places and specific people. And you all have opportunity to meet all sorts of circles of people. I've been encouraging you over the last few weeks to think of five people that you know and be praying for them. And if you take that number of people that are here this morning and multiply that times five, even if only 10 or 20% of those people come to know Christ, we've had an impact on eternity. And it's not just about adding them to Trinity Christian Chapel, it's about adding them to the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about being sent and being prepared and be ready at any given time, at any given place, in case God is working in that place and we're the one that's supposed to be the point of contact. Now, the reality is we all know there are times that we have missed those opportunities. As I shared a few weeks ago, we have those times when we're talking to somebody and we feel that prompting to share something about who Jesus is, and we start to share and it's like our tongue ties up and our heart palpitates out of our chest and we can't figure out what to say until we get in the car on the way home. You all know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, your mind just floods with all these great thoughts you could have shared. And you kick yourself for the 100th time thinking, I blew it again. And we need to be prepared so that everything that's supposed to happen in terms of the intersection of what God is doing and what we have to say and share gives them the opportunity to have an encounter with God and to be changed by the gospel. And the reality is, if we're not careful, we all know we'll miss that chance. And we could really mess up a situation that's supposed to be a great celebration. It reminds me of something that happened to our youth and worship pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan, when he was getting married. He made the mistake of having his older brother be the best man. The reason I say that's a mistake was because they were always pranking each other. And so, first of all, when the groomsmen all came up to the front of the church, they shook Corey's hand, and in their hand, they had a golf ball. So each person gave him a golf ball, and he's looking at these golf balls and like, what do I do with these golf balls? Pretty soon, when the wedding's ready to start, his pocket's full of golf balls. So then when it came to the crucial moment, which is obviously one of the, besides the vows, one of the more important moments of a wedding, which is the exchange of rings, Corey turned to his brother Ben, and Ben went, and he started looking at each of the groomsmen, and they all went, none of them had the rings. And they got to the last groomsman, and while they were waiting for the wedding to start, they had been sitting in the nursery of the church. You remember those little stackable toys that have the rings in different sizes all the way up? The last groomsman had one of those plastic rings in his pocket, and he tossed it to Corey to use for a ring. And then, like that, after everybody laughed and thought that was so funny, and Corey's like, got this look on his face, then his brother Ben pulled the rings out of his pocket. And I was thinking that there's a lot of people out there that have been pranked by a message that they've been tricked with by the enemy, and they think it's the real thing. And they need someone like you and I to literally take those rings out of our pocket and say, I've got the real thing to share. I think there's an appropriate passage of Scripture that I just want us to look at really quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And we want to remember that the Great Commission is not just a command, but it's literally an act of worship. Just like we've been worshiping this morning, when we have the privilege to share the gospel, it's an extension of our worship, responding to where God is sending us at a time and a moment to give glory to Him for what He's done in our life so that someone else might have an encounter with Jesus. So look with me at this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me just do a technical thing real quick. Do you want me to switch that other microphone? Okay. All right, we're good on this one. So let me just share some things about this. First of all, God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. That's what he says in verses 18 and 19. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody hold your hands out in front of you. He's put in your hands the ministry of reconciliation. And not only that, he's entrusting you with that ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people's lives that are broken and fallen apart and brought back together because you carry the message of reconciliation to literally hand to them. And the word entrust means you are a steward of that gift. You have a responsibility and an opportunity to steward that gift well because he's entrusted it to you. And my encouragement to all of us as we recognize that we are sent is to be careful with that gift. Don't waste the opportunities that we have to share this precious gift of reconciliation that he's given to us. It's part of our spiritual DNA. And here's the reality that will affect any church, including Trinity Christian Chapel. If we hold our hands tightly, like a closed fist, and we decide because of fear or because of stubbornness, I'm not going to share that gift of reconciliation. I'm keeping it to myself. We will experience lack in this place. We will become impoverished in spirit. But if our hands are open wide, hands extended, literally as an act of worship, the result will be the outpouring of abundance where we experience heaven on earth because we are experiencing the wealth of heaven being released in us and through us to other people. So their lives are changed. The next thing that we see in this passage is God is making his appeal through us. Now, you may think to yourself, how in the world can he make his appeal through us? I can't speak articulately like Brianna. I get tongue-tied. I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say a whole lot. You just need to be there and give someone a hug. You just need to be there and be a good listener. You need to be ready for God to do his appeal. Passage in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal. We implore you on behalf of God, be reconciled to God. The word implore means I encourage you and I strengthen you. Now hopefully, as you listen to Brianna this morning, I know for me, I was encouraged. I was strengthened. I'm like, I can do that too. One of the things that happens as well, and for those of you that are part of Trinity Christian Chapel, I have heard about last week's baptism service more than anything I've heard about in a long, long time. Everybody I talk to say that, in fact, some people have said that was the best baptism service we've had in years at Trinity Christian Chapel. You know what? My encouragement to you is milk that as long as it's worth. You can keep sharing that message over and over and over again about the impact of watching change lives. We're implored to do that. We're encouraged to do that. And we're encouraged to pray, to make supplications. That's why I encourage you to think of five people that you might know that you could share the gospel with. But before you even worry about sharing the gospel, just pray for them. Just pray for them. It's made us a new creation,
to bear his righteousness. There's that familiar verse in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then if you jump to the end of the passage, verse 21, it says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, some of us may look at our lives and think, how in the world is the world going to see the righteousness of God in me? But let me remind you, it's not about you. Your identity is in Christ. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. It's not about you being more righteous. It's about you allowing him to reflect and show his righteousness through you. One of the things that Bob McChesney, one of our brothers that's not here this morning, but a few weeks ago, he was with a team that went to a prison ministry in Colorado with their softball team, and they saw 59 men come to know Christ. But Bob was reminding us of the reality that none of us, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So how do you bear the righteousness of God? You just worship. You abide in Christ. You stay as close to Jesus as possible. And I guarantee you, when that's happening, you will reflect and show the righteousness of God. The way we accomplish this is through our worship. Now, I'm going to skip through a couple of things for the sake of time. But somebody has said, the man or woman who will present Christ to others must be occupied with Christ for himself. I was struck with this question when Brianna was sharing about how there's different people out there that when you say the name Jesus, they go, who are you talking about? You know what scares me even more is that when you share about Jesus with people at church and they say, I don't really know Jesus all that well. I used to know him really well, but it's been a long, long time because I've drifted away. I think that's one of the testimonies we heard last week is the idea of drifting away. It's so easy to have that happen to any of us. We all need to be cautious. We all need to be diligent that we revisit our relationship with Jesus to make sure it stays current. We know that's a reality with the church because if you remember, if you look at the book of Revelation, there was a warning to a couple of churches. Remember the warning to the church of Laodicea? You're not hot, you're not cold. You've become lukewarm, and I just want to spit you out of my mouth. Hey, everybody, let's not be lukewarm. Let's be hot so he can use us as the righteousness of God. And remember the church of Ephesus, which is one of the greatest letters in the New Testament, is the letter to the churches in Ephesus. But it was the church of Ephesus where Jesus says to the church, look how far you have fallen because you've fallen from your first love. Has Jesus become fifth or sixth or tenth? And shifted from being first in our lives? Because when that happens, the byproduct evangelism becomes very, very difficult. And so I encourage everyone this morning to remember that it's about our first love. It's about our worship to carry the righteousness of God as sent ones to make a difference. We share the gospel because it is the gospel. It is good news. And I happen to know something about this crowd, even those that are guests of you, because I think it's something that's in the atmosphere or in the water in South Jersey, because we're so close to Philadelphia. Because if it was like a certain football team or a certain basketball team or a certain baseball team, and you were excited that they had won, it would be very likely you would even call friends that rooted for an opposing team, and you would not shut up about it. And whatever that is in you, my encouragement is, you let it be about Jesus as well. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. But I want to remind you of something. If we take that verse out of context and just say, go and make disciples, we forget that before that verse comes 1,066 verses. The disciples were reminded and taught and filled with all sorts of experience. Mary Magdalene and Martha are worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And when he said, go and make disciples, it's like, we've been waiting for you to say so. Because they had a heart of worship. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want to pray over us, and I want to pray a prayer that is a little bit lengthier than we're normally used to with a prayer. I'm going to read it, actually. It comes out of a book that our leaders have been praying through over the last year called Pray the Word for Your Church. And I'm going to ask Brianna to come up on the stage with me because it's an opportunity for you to be praying for her. But we're going to pray for her, and we're going to pray for us. You can stay seated for just a moment before we sing our last song. But I want you to put one hand out in front of you and put another hand out as an extension towards Brianna, that we would be praying for her as well in the ministry she's in. But this prayer is called Proclaiming Jesus. So you have one hand out in front of you just receiving what this prayer is about for yourself. And the other hand is an extension of prayer for the ministry of Crew and Brianna and all of her team. And it says this, Heavenly Father, as we quiet our hearts before you, we confess that Jesus is Lord and there is salvation in no one else. It's through your name above alone that I've been saved and the people of the world will receive salvation. Oh God, forgive us for the ways that we have kept the good news to ourselves. This day, we ask, Lord, for a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit on our lives and on the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ in our church community, that our hearts might be captured with a new urgency to be gospel proclaimers. May a longing to see souls come to know you increase among us, we pray. May the message of reconciliation that had been committed to us be released through our lives and be upon our lips, that we might truly live as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. May the beauty of Jesus increase in our lives as we bring good news and blessing into our conversations. May every task, encounter, provide opportunity for gospel communications with those around us. May the peace of Christ so rest upon us that our presence and Jesus' proclamations in the world are a healing balm of peace for every troubled heart. May all fear of rejection be banished from our lives. Instead, may we increasingly be those who are always prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have. May timidity be replaced with a gentle, holy boldness that the message of salvation might be proclaimed through us with great love. May we be filled with fresh faith and a deepening confidence that in spite of all that we see or hear around us, our God reigns. And you rule over all. May our trust in you and hope in your name increasingly be part of the conversations of our lives. I ask, Father, that whenever we open our mouths, your words would be given to us that we might make known the mystery of the gospel without fear. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit be present in power among us, and may our community of faith grow through our new believers. Add to our number daily those who are being saved. Surely, Lord Jesus, you are coming soon. May we be found faithfully engaging in the work of your kingdom as gospel proclaimers. From our Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, may the good news of Jesus be made known with great joy. And those who are in darkness come into the light in Jesus' name alone. And everybody said, amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we close and worship God?